Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's a weather market. No, wait. It's only April. Today, on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Greg Johnson, or rather Wyatt Muse of the Andersons from here in Champaign County. Well, let's open the discussion with this question, and we'll start with you, Wyatt, since I decided to call you Greg up front. November soybeans finished above $6 for the week. Some say it's a place to sell new crop beans. Is it?
I agree. It's a spot to be selling beans. Don't be too heavily sold at these prices in case we continue to go higher, but the fundamentals are there to keep driving soybean prices down, and we need to take care of any advantage we have in selling them at higher prices.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, Todd, if you could tell me why, if all the funds want to buy soybean oil with no more plants than we have to process to make soy diesel, but yet they follow it very closely with the crude oil that way. That's the only reason we've hung in here as long as we have with the bean prices. Fundamentally, we would have to say be a seller.
And Mike Georgie.
I'll have to agree. I've been saying sell beans for quite a while here and have sold them all the way up to the high of $6.45. So I think anything over $6 is definitely a sell, protect the price somehow.
Mike Georgie, of course, is with Allendale. The bean settled the week like this. May contract at $5.77.5 on the high. The low at $5.61.75. May bean settled at $5.69.75. They were up 6.75 from last week. November contract above $6 at $6.04. Their settlement price up 7.75 cents from last week. Now, the lead option soybeans, Wayne, managed to maintain a small gap higher on the weekly charts this week. That upside gap is a bit bigger in the November contract. Volume, though, remains relatively strong on the board. Are there any signs this market might break to the downside? Oh, and we might take this in context. While the weekly charts are higher, the long-term trend for the beans has been down since January of 2005. And that's when a high came more than a year ago, near $6.50 a bushel.
Well, Todd, as we look at the beans, there's the charts, long-term charts looking bearish, the fundamentals looking very bearish, and yet we seem to hold this market together every day. We seem to be following a little bit of the crude oil, the silver, the gold, but there's something out there that just sort of makes you very nervous as to what's going on, because it will not crash with all the fundamentals leaning very heavily to the downside. We hear about China moving back shipments out of South America. You know, what was going to be shipped next month has moved a month, 2 months out farther down. We hear they're going to crush more internally and not buy the oil out of South America. So all these things tell us that we should be dropping on down. You know, look at the weather. We're seeing delays in planting in corn. That means that we're probably going to keep the acreage up in the soybeans. So all this coupled together, the soybeans are a little higher than they should be. So there's something we're not seeing, and it does make me a little bit leery.
Another one of those bearish factors. Let me remind you that U.S. farmers told USDA in March that they expected to sow an extra 4.8 million acres of soybeans this season. The corn crop is going in the ground slower than in recent years, and many think this delay will cause the predicted shift to beans to become reality. Have you heard farmers changing the crop rotation plans at this late date?
Well, if weather can clear off a little bit and we can get in the field and plant corn, I have a feeling guys around here are going to continue with their normal rotation, and with the strength in corn prices, potentially increase their corn acres. But weather's our wild card right now, so if we keep getting a nice heavy rain once a week, we're going to end up being pushed back too late to get corn in the ground and probably look like more soybeans planted, making the USDA number look more of a reality.
Here's one I picked up from the weekend newsletter, most of which is written by our own Dave Dickey. Somewhere he dug up a report that shows China is considering a plan to restrict soybean oil imports to protect internal crush margins. Okay, you picked up that from Oil World, which, by the way, estimates the April to May import will be a mere 100,000 metric tons. Last year it was 260,000 tons. Is this enough to scare the market lower?
I don't know what it's going to take to scare the market lower. I think you look at a lot of things, and we are higher on beans than we should be. I mean, the November price at this time on the last 5 years was $5.70. Then it, in March or April, it would sell off to around the $5.50. So we closed at that 605, 609 area. I mean, that is higher than what we should be, and all the fundamentals point toward down, and I don't know what it's going to take to break the bean market.
All right, Wayne, did you hear the conversation I had with Mike Susilo during the closing market report Friday afternoon? I asked if there was enough historical evidence, now that we've been dealing with the index funds for the better part of 2 years, to predict how much impact they can or will have on the marketplace. He said no. Okay, that's not a question. He went on to suggest new funds were being developed that could take the short side of the market. Funds selling soybean futures daily. How's that sound?
If you're short beans, it sounds wonderful. But maybe it would take something like that to drive this market down, because we've had people buying beans for no reason on the upside. But the fact of the matter is, I haven't heard that rumor. I don't know that it's true like that, because that would be uninflationary that way, when most of these funds are looking at the idea of inflationary with all the commodities out there, and especially the way the silver, the gold, and the crude oil or the energies have been reacting. We would think it'd be awfully hard to talk somebody into buying a negative fund.
Okay, that's four questions in a row, four bearish questions in a row. Everybody seems to be bearish, but nobody knows why the market continues to go higher. Wyatt, you're up. What's the deal?
Well, right now, the funds are currently short soybeans, and over the past week or so, they've been buying in small amounts, with the exception of Thursday, which we saw, you know, substantial sell-off there on Thursday. So, again, I agree with these other guys when they're saying that people are buying beans as an inflationary hedge, and they're also going to ride this up with the gold, silver, and the energies.
And how far can they ride this higher? What's the upper limit on it? Is there a very near-term limit?
Well, that's a very good question, because I can't see any fundamental reason for it to go higher, so I can't find any fundamental reason to pick a level higher. So I guess it just depends how crazy they decide to get with this, and there's a chance that it could, you know, get another 50 cents higher, say, than November in the 650 range. Now, I don't necessarily see that heading that direction, but, you know, if crude oil is really going to $100 a barrel, why shouldn't soybeans be $6.50?
All right, let's go back through this. And I think we've fairly established that everybody thinks the bean market ought to go down. But as far as new crop sales, what are you suggesting producers do? Mike?
Well, we're saying make some sales here and also use some protection. Either what we're doing is buying a $6 call or buying a $6 put and selling a $7 call, which lightens the load and protects you up to $7, because we don't feel that beans can get over $7. And it leaves you an opening up there for to go to a higher price in case it does.
Yeah, I think that we've done some of those already earlier when the market was a little higher. I know that there's some advisory services out there that have been putting a 5.99 and 3/4 stop in every day to hedge another 30% of their beans. I think that we should be protected on probably 40 to 50% of our bean crop at this point in time over $6, and sit back and see if there is something strange like rust or something that does happen later.
I definitely recommend being at least 50% priced of your insured guarantee on soybeans. And if you're more heavily sold than that and really afraid that this market's going to go higher, you can buy some calls to protect that. But at this time, 50% doesn't seem unreasonable. And if you're worried about that next 25%, consider a min-max.
Okay, let's do corn. Is there a double top at 275? Let me take that back. What will it take to confirm a double top at 270? No, wait, is this consolidation at 275 before the next move up to 290? Oh, heck, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, if you consider the night session, I've seen December hit 275 a total of 3 times now. So, again, that's going to be interesting to see what the chart guys want to do. And if we can push through that, it suggests that we'll head to the low 280 range. But on the farmer side of things, I recommend locking in profits while they're there, not trying to pick the high of the market. I mean, if you can get decent 270 done and either use your own bins or rent some from someone else, you can roll that forward into the March futures and pick up some excellent carry in the corn market.
Well, I agree. I think the corn market is one that we feel is probably going to be at a top here, 280. It might get to, but for the spring here, then I think it could go back down. Then maybe during the summer we could see another rally. But as of right now, I think we're trying to peak out and maybe cross 275, but not very much higher.
Did you catch this one for the week? FSA reports 875 million bushels have been LDP'd above 40 cents a bushel. Does that number sound way too low to you? That's less than 10% of the corn crop. If this is the case, we might need to revisit, I suppose, the cash sales at some point.
I thought there was a lot more than that already stated that had been LDP'd a lot in that, Todd. So I'm not sure it was a mistake earlier or a mistake later on what was said there. There is still a lot of corn around. There's still corn piles out in many places. And a lot of elevators are full because otherwise they'd have taken their corn piles in. So there is a lot of old corn out there. We know that most times when we have meetings, farmers definitely say they have beans left. And some farmers say they have corn left. So we still have a lot of old corn. It's still going to be over 2 billion bushel carryout. It's not for this year's crop. It's what the crop going in the ground, whether we'll have a shortage at that point in time. But we've got plenty of corn to make it to the next year's harvest.
Speaking of the old crop corn, the May contract at 242 and a quarter high this week, a low at $2.34. May settled the week at $2.36.5 a bushel. They were up a quarter from last week. And the Dease corn at 270 and three quarters finished two and a quarter or higher. So, Wayne, let's do the cash strategies. Where do you stand on old crop corn sales, and what are you doing with that which you still have in the bin?
Well, we've contracted a lot of corn for the July delivery time frame already, but we consider that priced. You know, we're basically got 10% left of our old corn crop. The new crop corn, we're probably a little too heavy, pushed along too soon before the acreage report come out. But we are going to, sit back. Take a very cautious approach here right now because we're sort of in a very tight trading range looking to break out. I don't think we're going to fall much below 250 until we get the crop in the ground and some farther down in the weather. So we're looking for probably one more push up, and then we're going to push some sales.
Mm-hmm. I'd recommend getting rid of all of your old crop corn. If you look at the historical numbers, March and April are your highest prices for corn. That incents people to plant corn, and it's done its job. But at this time, you know, sell it. If it's in the bin, you can sell the carry, sell it for July, August, as long as you make sure your quality is there. But if it's in the elevator, stop paying storage on it and take care of, good prices. $2.30 cash corn today at the Andersons does not sound bad after $1.75 last fall.
Well, I think that's right. I think the other thing that we're seeing is as this price goes up and there are corn piles out there, that the cash really isn't following the futures market. Because they've got a lot of corn out there. So definitely sell the cash corn, re-own it with options to try to take some more upside. But if you've got it, try to get it sold.
One other corn question. USDA reported this week export commitments for the year over 1.54 billion bushels. A year ago, that number just 1.4 billion. Sales this week topped 43 million bushels and need to average about 21 million for the rest of the marketing year to reach the projected goal. Does this seem to be an obtainable goal? That is the total predicted export commitment for the coming year.
Oh, yes. I think it's very reachable, and I think we'll meet it or even exceed it at this point.
From the wheat pit, May contract in Chicago had a high this week at 357.5, a low at 344.5. Their settlement price at 352.75, down 4.75 from last week. July futures, 365.25. They were off 6 cents from last week. Is this market done to the upside?
No. We've got a lot of weather to go through here yet, and it's very dry. We don't think they're going to come on. Some of the rain isn't going to materialize in Texas, and some of it's moving south on the weekend. So we're going to wait and look at the rain.
And what are you hearing about the forecast for out in the southwest in the Great Plains states and the wheat crop that's a hard red winter wheat crop coming on from there?
Again, you know, it's going to be weather market from here on out. It's definitely not over. They've probably just been getting ready to think about starting harvest in the deepest south areas, but as you go north into Kansas, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, there's still plenty of time yet to go on that wheat crop.
One more from the grains. May oats at 173.5 were up one for the week. Wayne, could we have you give us the numbers from the cattle on feed and some of the other reports that were released by USDA this week after I give you the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange? Live cattle, the high of 83.12.5, the high for the week, the low at 80.80. Live cattle, 81.40, a settlement price there, 47.5, lower for the April contract. And the April feeders at 101.80 were down 37.5 cents. May lean hogs, $65.60 the high, the low at 53.80. The May is the new lead option, so this is why the number is so different from last week. 65.52.5, they were up $11.30 on the week-over-week trade as it took over as the lead option. May bellies at 79.50, were up $1.75 from last week. Tell me about those numbers that came out from USDA and the cattle on feed reports Friday afternoon.
Well, Friday afternoon, we got the on-feed number as 109. The average guess was 108.2, and the range was 106.5 to 110. So on the high end of things, a little bit bearish. Placed in March, 105. The average guess only 102. So, but the high end of the range was at 106.1. So still under the high end of the range, but still very high. Marketed in March, only 100%. And we were expecting 101. So we didn't market as many, and we placed more. Doesn't look good for the cattle market on Monday.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural economist from Iowa State University, Bob Wisner.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Mild weather continued across Illinois this week in the wake of Sunday's severe weather and heavy rains. There was a well-defined north-to-south variation in temperatures this week, with temperatures running from about 2 degrees above normal in northern Illinois to 10 degrees above normal in the southern tip of the state. Rainfall was plentiful across the northeastern two-thirds of Illinois and is running well ahead of normal. Most of the rain fell north of a Quincy to Evansville, Indiana line. Some locations have received more than 4 inches of rain in the past week, and in parts of central Illinois, there was standing water in fields after the Easter Sunday storms. Additional rain fell across central Illinois on Tuesday night, but amounts were substantially less, generally about a half an inch. The exception was in southeastern Illinois, where a number of locations received an inch and a half of rain. The last full week of April could likely start out stormy on Monday as a low-pressure system moves through the Midwest. The cold front trailing from the low could slow down on Tuesday, keeping rainfall chances alive in southern Illinois through Tuesday night. High pressure will build into Illinois behind this system, bringing dry and sunny weather for the rest of the week. Temperatures should be running near normal for late April, with highs in the 60s and lows in the mid-40s to low 50s. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Greg Johnson, or rather Wyatt Muse of the Andersons in Champaign, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Bob Wisner of Iowa State University Extension Ag Economist now joins us from his Ames, Iowa office. Good afternoon to you, Bob. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me, in Iowa, did a few hours, maybe a day or so at 275, manage to buy any corn acres away?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's buying a few corn acres here. That and a combination of some easing of fertilizer prices from back when the March planting intentions were taken. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more corn acres in Iowa, probably through a good share of the western corn belt. Big question mark is east of the Mississippi with the rains you've had over there and the Illinois numbers running well behind last year on plantings on corn. I think that's the big question mark. What will those Monday numbers show, and are you far enough behind that you won't be able to pick up any corn acres from the intentions?
And then can you give us a recap of what your first thoughts were when you saw the predictions from USDA March 31st on the planting intentions report?
I was shocked that at the sharp decline indicated in corn. Although when I looked at the state numbers, it makes a bit more sense. We had not anticipated much decline here in Iowa or Minnesota from the feedback we've been getting from farmers. And it wasn't a big change here, but you were down more in Illinois and some of the eastern Corn Belt states, and also some of the plains states where irrigation costs are a factor. Here in Iowa, the feedback we were getting from farmers was probably there would be some shift out of corn to beans in the areas that had severe drought last year due to a combination of tight cash flow and because of concern over low subsoil moisture. And I suspect that has been a concern in Illinois, and I would guess you're not too concerned now in a lot of areas about subsoil moisture.
Mike Georgie here. I guess my question is, should people be concerned about the fact of getting this stuff planted? I've heard more and more people say that we have to be 40% planted or 50% planted on the corn crop by April 30th, or the yields will decrease quite a bit as each day goes by. What's your feelings on that?
Well, it's going to vary depending on where you are in the Corn Belt. That may be true for Illinois. I would not expect the yield to start dropping off sharply in Iowa if we're not up to 40% planted by the end of this month. But certainly if you go into the first week of May, if we're not at least 40 to 50% planted here in Iowa, then we start getting nervous.
I think the old rule of thumb continues to be the case in the state of Illinois. It's May the 15th or the 17th, and then you start losing half a bushel a day or something like that as time progresses after that. So it would surprise me that anybody's coming up with a number quite that large.
We didn't get anything planted in Indiana hardly this week, Bob. How is it in Iowa?
We had a few areas with some light rains this week, but nothing real heavy. I would the reading I'm getting is we have had significant progress here. In fact, if you get into the southwestern part of our state, concern is lack of rain and dry soils over there. But we've seen quite a bit of activity, so I think we'll see a sizable jump in those numbers for Iowa Monday.
Well, what percent do you think we'll see on Monday for the total U.S.?
I haven't tried to pin that down too precisely, but I would not be surprised if we're at least in the low 20s, maybe higher than that.
What is your advice currently?
What is your advice currently for producers in Iowa on old crop and new crop cash sales?
I'm most concerned about the soybeans, with those carryover stocks headed up to more than five times what they were just 2 years ago, with exports 21% season to date under last year, and seeming inability to pull those exports up. My view is that for both the old and new crop, it's time to use any even small rally to boost those sales. The corn, I'm probably a bit less pessimistic short term than what I heard from the other people here on the panel. Again, I look at the wheat condition, nervousness there, which could spill over into corn if we get some strength in the wheat. The delayed plantings relative to last year, and the wet conditions in the eastern Corn Belt. I think short term, we'll see some upside volatility in that corn market. I think we might have at least one more shot at some sales opportunities here in the next two or three weeks. And then our weather people are cautioning us that we may be on the dry side this summer. In fact, seriously dry is a possibility. So I would be less aggressive on the corn sales. I would lean more toward use of options in some way, either re-owning after a sale or using put options.
Bob, Wyatt Muse here. And my question for you is, how much do you see on farm yet left in Iowa? And if not just on farm, are there many ground piles left in the country elevators?
Oh, we've got a lot of corn out here. We've got some elevators that still have large piles on the ground. I live northwest of Ames, and a few miles from me there's an elevator that has three piles, approximately a million bushels each one, still out there. One of them, just this week, they started to touch it, move it a little bit. We've got a lot of old crop grain here. That's a caution for later on in the summer that we could well get into storage crunch problems with pressure on the basis again, late summer and fall. But for the next few weeks, the big question is how many acres will we end up with a normal yield? My calculations say that the March intentions would give us a crop about 900 million bushels below potential use. And if we'd have some yield problems, then you get a lot larger difference than that. So until we get this crop in the ground off to a decent start, I'd look to that corn market to be nervous.
I agree with you. And also you mentioned basis. Has the old crop basis been incenting farmers to sell their grain, or do they have incent to hold out longer?
It has improved some. And depending on where you are, if you're close to an ethanol plant, there have been some better basis opportunities for forward contracts for summer delivery. So it's tightening up some. I think probably in the next couple of weeks it may strengthen a bit further. Still not up to what we would consider normal. Those large old crop stocks are pressuring the basis, and of course fuel costs, hitting transportation expense. That's all part of the basis picture, too.
Given normal crop conditions and current USDA predictions for acreage, what kind of cash sales range do you expect for the coming year?
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of the December futures. Where might we be at
That's
harvest
fine.
Time? And I see 235, 240, somewhere in that area being good possibility, maybe a little less than that on the chance that we picked up some additional corn acres here in the Western Corn Belt. But certainly we've got a significant weather risk premium in the December futures right now. I would expect probably U.S. average farm price at least a little over the $2 mark. I'm thinking maybe $2.20. 230, somewhere in there, if we don't pick up some additional corn acres.
Are you concerned very much about the size of the bean crop potentially?
I'm a lot less worried about the bean crop at this point. The big unknown, the biggest probably, is the question of Asian rust. And rust has gotten an earlier start in the southeast than it did a year ago. So far, it's been confined to Alabama and Florida for the most part, a little bit in Georgia, but those are very minor soybean-producing states. The big question is, will it migrate further west into Louisiana and Mississippi? If it does, then it puts us in line for rust spores to move up the Mississippi Valley.
I suppose I was thinking that it could be awfully big with an extra 4.8 million acres of beans out there.
Well, that's the flip side of it, and that's why I haven't been too concerned about the soybeans. That and that half billion bushel plus carryover that we're looking at for August 31st, that suggests to me that first priority in marketing should be on beans.
Bob, we appreciate you being with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you much. Bob Wisner, Iowa State Ag Economist, joined us from his Ames, Iowa office. A quick final word from our guest panelist, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons. I haven't gotten your name right yet, Wyatt.
That's all right. I can forgive you, Todd. Just to review again, I'd recommend getting some hedges on for your new crop sales, especially on the soybeans, and also be taking advantage of any price upside we might see on corn coming up. Go ahead and get rid of all your old crop that you may still be hanging on to, as we've seen some very good prices and may not see those going into the summer.
Wayne Nelson?
$75 crude, expensive energy. We hear there's rumors of a new energy bill.
And Mike Georgie?
Just let everybody be safe when they get out there and start running 24/7.
I'm Todd Gleason. This has been Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.